Yes, yes. And the Lord is talking to us today, saying, I am the I am. And everything that that means, and not only is He talking to us, but He is manifesting Himself by way of His presence that we feel in this service. He is here. We feel Him. We cannot see Him, but He is here. Because He is here, and because you love Him, let that be the reasons that we give praise to the Lord right now. Go ahead, talk to Him. He's talking to us. He wants to hear us back. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. From John chapter 11, we pick up in the midst of the story of Lazarus and his passing. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha, as she met Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever you would ask of God, God will give that to you. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You can sense her faith. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes in me, though they or he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives or is still alive and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And I would ask this congregation today, do you believe that? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the Son of God, which should or has been prophesied to come into the world. He said it to Martha in this instance, which preceded his resurrection. During his ministry, he said it. And at the tomb on what would have been that first Easter, he lived it out. I am the resurrection. I preach him today. We lift up him today. When Jesus gave these I am statements, this just being one of them, he was pointing us toward him. And he was desiring to manifest himself. But not only that, he wanted praise and glory because of all that he is. We agree today the Lord deserves thanks and he deserves praise and he deserves glory. That's why we are doing what we are doing today. This service is about him. Would you give focus to him another time before you are seated? Would you just talk to the Lord? Pray to him or praise him. Whatever you feel like doing, the Holy Ghost is leading and helping us today. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for your presence and your power and your comfort and your goodness and your revelation and your manifestation that is here today. I thank you very much for it, Lord. Just before you're seated, let me just inform you, let you know, I believe the Lord has a message. Just like those angels that first day, those messengers that first day had a message for those who came and arrived at that tomb. The Lord has a message for all of us that are gathered here today. And if we will be sensitive, God wants to not only have it spoken out, he wants it to be lived out. He wants to manifest its power in our life. Thank you for standing to the word of God. This statement, this I am statement, is one of several that Jesus made during his ministry. When he referred to himself as the I am, what he meant and what those in that day heard and what they understood was basically two things. When he said, I am, he was saying, I am forever. I am eternal. He is forever and eternally all he has been. I am suggests timelessness. I'm glad he didn't say, I was. I'm glad he didn't say, someday I will be. He said, I am timelessly powerful. I am unchangingly strong and full of grace and love. As time goes by for us humans and the elements of this earth and equipment, we tend to lose our abilities and tend to lose our strength. Machines break down, cars break down, athletes wear out. But there is no need for God. Hear me today, everybody. If you need him today, he's as powerful as he has ever been. He is listening like he has never listened before. There is no need for God to return to what he was, regain any lost power, because he is I am. He is changeless. And there is no need to look forward to or wait for him to become powerful or for him to be able to do something that you need in your life to become peace or become comfort. He said, I am, which is, which was, and which is to come, because he is the I am now and forever. And I want to emphasize this today. We don't have to wait for him to become what we need. Whatever you walked in with today, the Lord has that and he is that. The second thing that they heard when they heard Jesus make this phrase and claim this title, I am, it also had the meaning of I am about to. That was inferred in that phrase. In other words, this is the whatever I'm saying. And he said, I am the bread and I am the life and I am the light. And today he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. What he was saying, this is the potential of what will be and what will occur. In other words, in this case, with Mary and Martha about Lazarus, he was saying, I am about to live up to and live out resurrection. I'm about to resurrect your brother, Lazarus. And later on, I am going to be resurrected myself. Martha, like all of us humans, responded, and I'm not saying everybody would have responded this way, but it's likely that many of us could have and would have. Lord, if you had been there, she said, recorded in verse 21. Lord, if. And later in 32, Mary echoes the if. When she was come, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Life is full of ifs. If I had. I don't want to preach around your situation today. I want to preach into your situation today. If I had, I wish I had. If I hadn't done this or that. If they had, or if they hadn't, parents, friend, the church. And it just never ends, those if phrases and statements. But I have an answer for you today. God wants you to turn that if around and use the if in your favor. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you will believe in your heart, if you will confess, or if you will call the name of Jesus with faith, and you will believe from the depth of you that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved in salvation and saved from whatever it is. You might say, man, I wish I wasn't in this condition. And if things had gone differently, or if I had acted differently, but God has an if for you if you will confess that the Lord is God of all. And if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him, if you will believe in resurrection power, you shall be saved. There's somebody that can save you from your sins, which is the most important. But I also feel to relate to you today, he is able to save you out of whatever it is that you are now facing. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Somebody just get a hold of this promise. God, you said, if I would pray, I'm called by your name. You said, if I would pray, if I would seek your face, and I would turn from any wickedness in my life, here's what will happen behind the if. Then you said, you're going to hear me from heaven. And I just feel to camp there for just a few seconds. God wants to hear you. But you must ask. And ask with faith. He said, I'll hear you from heaven. I will forgive their sin. He wants us to call. It could be argued, and it's the truth, God does already know all of our situations and all of our dilemmas. But there's a reason that he said ask. There's a reason that he put the if there. He said, if you will pray, if you will ask, I'm going to hear you from heaven. Listen to this. Somebody that feels like you cannot be forgiven, he said, and I will forgive their sin. Excuse me, everybody. I just want to preach to Satan for just a moment. The Lord will forgive the sin of anybody and everybody and every sin that may be represented in lives. He said, if, instead of saying, if I go to hell or if I never live for the Lord, why don't you use this if right here? If I will pray, if I will humble myself, if I will seek his faith, if I will turn his direction away from the worldly direction, he's going to forgive that sin and he is going to heal the land. Listen to this one. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, I haven't been able to do various things. But if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. You're able to speak to a mountainous situation. Every mountain I've ever seen has been bigger than I am. And if it's not bigger than I am, it ain't a mountain. Something that is bigger than you are and bigger than your emotions and bigger than what you can figure out and bigger than what we can handle. It's bigger than that. And we can say, oh, if this doesn't stop or if this doesn't let up, I don't know what's going to happen. Or we could say, if I can have faith and all I need is the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to a mountain, somebody needs to speak to a mountain today, remove from here, go to yonder place, and look what will happen. And it might remove, no, and it shall remove. What if it doesn't? Take that if out of there. He said, if you have faith, it shall remove, and nothing be impossible. Nothing be impossible. Nothing be impossible. Would you clap and say that with me? Nothing be impossible. Nothing be impossible, because he's the I am. And just one more, Romans 8 and 31. What shall we say to these things? If it doesn't work out, if things don't get better, if I falter and fail, no. Here's what we're going to say to those things. If God be for us. Woo! And I got to stop and say, he is for you. And this isn't preacher rhetoric. I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost to state that phrase, God is for you. I'll be held accountable if I'm lying. I'm not telling the untruth. God is for you. What if they're against me? If God be for us, who could be against us? If he said it, I believe it. If he promised it, it's going to happen. If it's in his word, it's true. If God uttered it, it's going to come to pass. If he promised it, he never broke a, my Lord, he never broke a promise. And he never, never, never will break it. Now, when I was reading this, I've read this several times in preparation. And again, while I was reading it as the text today, I couldn't help but feel Martha's faith. Verse 22, Jesus saying, there's going to be resurrection. I'm the resurrection. He says, but I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. That's faith right there. Jesus said, your brother's going to rise. Here comes faith again. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, Martha had faith. Martha had faith. But her faith, Jesus is so kind. Her faith just needed to be realigned to be more accurate. Yes, she was right. Lazarus was going to rise in that future resurrection. But Jesus was ready to work right then. Are you ready? That's a dangerous question, isn't it? Thank you for not being so quick to answer, as you didn't know what I was going to say. This may be the crux of the message today. He is ready to work right now. Hear me, everybody. Please, nobody look around or anything else. I want you to hear me right now. He is ready to work right now. Because he was ready to work right then. Martha had faith. That has to be claimed for her, and that has to be declared for her. But Jesus was ready to work right then. I wonder how many services, not just Easter services, but you could include an Easter service in there. I wonder how many services we might have walked out of when the Lord was ready to work. I wonder how many prayer times that we may have gotten up front by the living room couch or in the den, or maybe just as we were driving down, and God was ready to work. I have this message for you today. Don't put off into the future what God wants to do now. Maybe next service, maybe next special camp or convention, maybe next time. It seemed so far-fetched and fantasy-like to expect Lazarus to come back to life immediately. But the things that are impossible with men are very possible with God. And I preach to you today, the answer and the miracle and the blessing you need seems so impossible for now. We think maybe it'll happen someday. Hear me, saint of God that's been faithfully serving God and praying. We feel like maybe it'll happen then. Maybe it'll happen someday, if at all. But certainly not right now or right away. But I encourage you at this moment, have faith for the answer to your need that you have been believing for. God is going to take action. He's going to take action on your now faith. Nothing's too hard for God, whether it's now or in the future. He's a timeless God. So if I can believe him with Martha that he can do it someday, but he's the I am. He's changeless. What he is over here in the future, And all of us have probably had these thoughts. Well, in that special service, or if they have a healing line, God wants to heal somebody right where you're sitting right now in the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask this church to agree together right now for the healing touch of God. All throughout, whether it's you or somebody you represent as a friend or a family member, let's pray right now for healing in the name of Jesus. I believe you, Lord. I believe your work to be done for that diabetic condition. I believe for the healing of that broken bone in the name of the Lord. I believe for your healing in cancer situations. I believe your healing for the removal of the tumor. I believe you now, Jesus. I believe for your healing emotionally. I believe for your healing of the relationship. I believe for your healing mentally. I believe for your healing spiritually. And if he can do it someday, why can't he do it this day? Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It takes courage and boldness to believe him. Martha believed him for the future day. But Jesus said, I want to do it right now. I want to answer your request right now. Somebody is feeling like your answer just needs to come from God today, and you believe it will come today. Don't be intimidated and don't be fearful. You claim it. Jesus is ready to work today. Whew. He said, I'm about to do resurrection here. I'm about to show resurrection power. I'm about to bring new life into what was a life and a situation. Just by its very nature, resurrection infers you can't have resurrection unless something's died, right? Now, resurrection, from the positive side, whoo, that sounds good. That sounds good. That's life. That's coming back to life. Something that was once alive had died. And now it's alive again because of resurrection. Hear me. You or your situation may feel like you're dying and drying up, but God can start with death and end up with life. Now, all the rest of us have to have something to work with. You know, I've gone into counseling situations, and I mean, things were dead. Love was dead. Relationship was dead. And I've said this before. Come on, folks, give me something to work with. Because I need something to work with. But God doesn't need anything to work with. Your faith, your belief, but he can pick up this broken piece that's scattered way over here, and he can find this other broken piece that you couldn't even see that got down here underneath the lip of the step, and he can pick this one up back here that got scattered and shattered, and he picks up all of those pieces, and he puts it together again, and what was dead and what was broken, your emotions and your good intentions and everything that you wanted to have happen in your life, your dreams, God can put it back together. I wonder if there's somebody that would just have faith with me. Would you just lift a hand and believe that God is able? You are able, God. It's not impossible with you. It can live again. It can live again. It can live again. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. It can live again. Woo. Hallelujah. And that word, resurrection. What they heard, it's the literal translation. Resurrection is the literal translation of a word and words that they used. And they would use them when they referred to somebody standing up. Somebody that was either lying down or sitting down, that Greek word that they would use comes out in English to me. We would say, he or she just stood up. They would say, he just resurrected. What was down, lying down or sitting down, and was not moving, stood up, rose up. And Lazarus did exactly that when God spoke to him. He rose up, stood up, and came out of that tomb that he had been in. Now, your situation that looks like it's down for the count. Let's not ignore anything today, all right? We're not into exposing any details here, but I know that I preach to situations that you feel like it is down for the count. This can never be worked out. It will never be answered. It will never get up. It will never work out. But that situation is going to rise and going to be evident and going to show itself. And I put this in my notes. I added it in just this morning. I put it in red so I wouldn't miss it. Somebody has prayed that kind of prayer with very similar words or maybe exact words. This looks like it would never be answered. It looks like it's down for the count. It looks like it will not work out. But it is going to resurrect. It is going to come back to life. It is going to make itself evident. Resurrection is a complete reversal of death. A complete reversal. Jesus wasn't just a little bit alive when he came out of that. Neither was Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was all wrapped up, but his heart was functioning perfectly. His blood vessels were pumping blood perfectly. He didn't look like he was ready to go to the mall, but he was just as alive as anybody on the outside of that tomb that had never died. Resurrection is a complete reversal. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim a complete reversal. If you've got something that needs to be turned around, hear me right now. By the authority of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection. If you will believe that God is able to completely reverse that job situation, he is able to completely reverse that financial situation. He is able to completely reverse that thing that you have been deciding upon or that you're trying to help somebody else decide about. He can bring about a complete reversal. And like Martha and Mary, we say, maybe someday that will work out. But Jesus is saying, today's resurrection day. Today there is a complete reversal. I went to the graveyard this morning to honor my mama. I went there to honor her. Brother Jason, would you put that up there? I went there to honor her. But I also thought, what better day to go? Any day is a good day to go honor mama. But if she could get up out of there, she'd be more feisty and lively than I am right now. That's where I got a whole lot of that. My dad's got a depth and a walk with God, and he's a great reason why I'm here. But Dad and Mom were different. And difference got me and her in trouble a lot. She was feisty. She told me one day, boy, don't you ever go back on this truth and ever go back on that doctrine. I'm not going to do it to honor God and his word, and I'm scared to death of my mom still. Now, I didn't take a picture of Dad's side because I don't want to think about that. I think he's going to be in that part of the scripture, at least I want him to be. Brother Dean, I want him to be in that part of the scripture that says, those that are alive and remain. And If he keeps walking with God like he is, keeps his good health, I believe he's going to take one step on this earth, and the next step's going to be in glory land. Brother Urshan used to say, if we're in the middle of praising the Lord, we're going to say Hallie here and Luya there. Whoo, that feels good, don't it? Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know what these graveyards are going to look like. It's fun to think about it and imagine. And it seems far-fetched, don't it? People rising to meet the Lord. But I believe it. Do you believe it? Whoo. I hadn't really noticed this before, Dad. But in the middle between their names is that cross. And then there's her name. So there's what Easter's about. A cross, a grave, and a Holy Ghost-filled occupant. We're here because of the cross. I feel like some of us just need to come to this altar today, and when we come, we just need to say, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for making it so we have a resurrection. A cross, and there's a tomb, and there's a grave. But there's a Holy Ghost-filled occupant in there. Woo. In fact, I don't know all this. I don't know how to explain it. And if I'm wrong, somebody can certainly correct me. But I'm not totally convinced that that's where she is. I think her body's there, or what's left of it, since 03. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you know what needs to hit us fresh and new? The coming of the Lord. If we really believe the coming of the Lord, I wouldn't be able to finish this message. People that are backslidden would come. People that are serving the Lord right now would come. Because they want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need a fresh baptism of a belief that the Lord is soon to come. This doesn't mean he wants us to walk around afraid to do anything. It means he wants us to walk in his will, filled by his spirit, ready to meet him. God's ready to forgive you. God's ready to fill you with his spirit. Roger, would you mind standing, please? Roger. Roger said Wednesday night, he talked to some of our men. Brother Michael, Brother Reaver said, you know, I see the need for burial in water baptism. And so Friday afternoon, Brother Reaver met Roger here and put him down in a watery grave. Look at the smile on that face right there. If you need to be baptized today, you ought to go ahead and go in the tomb, because you're going to come out with resurrection and new life power. You talk about Good Friday. You talk about Good Friday. All your sins are gone. Stand with me if you would, please. Without hesitancy. If you need something brought back to life, your spiritual life, a need, if you want to repent of your sins, of anything, he's a forgiving God. If you want to be water baptized, come and talk to the Lord, and then let us know, and we will baptize you in the precious name of the Lord. If you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost for the first time, the second time, or the 200th time, you have a special need. Maybe it's a marriage need. Maybe it's a family need, a financial need, a healing need, or whatever it is. I want to open this altar right now. Jesus is ready to work right now. Please don't put it off and say, maybe not on the holiday, not on Easter Sunday. God's ready to do something right now. He's brought us here. He sent his word. His presence has been here throughout. Thank you for responding. Just step up closer. There are folks coming behind you that have come. First of all, would you just step up a little closer, leave room, and I'm going to ask others of you that have faith, would you just begin to move in with these and be in agreement? We're going to agree with God, we're going to agree with his word, and we're going to agree with one another. That's right. That's right. Come on. Feel free to join us. If you're a guest here, feel free to join us. Members, come on. whatever the need is, God does not exclude anybody, member or guest. There's no exclusion. He said, I am your life. I am your resurrection. That's it. Would you just begin to pray all over this house? Would you just lift a prayer of faith? The question is, do you believe this? The same question that Mary and Martha had to answer. We're answering it right now. You're answering it by your stepping down to this altar. God, I know that you see it. I know that you sense it. If we sense faith, how much more you sense faith, and you know faith is here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's it. Pray with belief. No matter how impossible that it looks. No matter how impossible that it looks. Oh, yes. No matter how impossible that it looks. Yes, he's able. He's able. God wants to take care of somebody's situation. God wants to take care of it today. Hallelujah. Just believe it. I know it's challenging. I know the pressure of fear and doubt. It's real. It's very real. But God is greater. That's it. God is greater. The I am, the timeless, changeless one. He's saying, I'm about to. I'm about to. God, I believe that, God. You've never misled us. You've never embarrassed us. You've never forsaken us. You will never do it. You will never leave us. Yes. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Call out to the Lord. For you hear us, God. You heard the words of Martha and Mary. God, you felt the pain in their hearts and life from the loss that they had experienced. The same you feel today. For whatever has been lost, that there be restoration today. Let there be restoration of souls and lives and families and health and blessing and finance and provision. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's it. Go ahead. They're going to begin to sing, but you go ahead and pray right now. The Lord is able. You are able. You are able, Lord.
Jesus, shed for me.